Welcome to Coin or welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth is always sponsored by Coins Plus in Spokane. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service. I've been doing business over a couple decades, and honesty, integrity, and professionalism is our motto. I have a special guest here with me today, a good family friend. His name's Master Sergeant Joseph Lochnet, and he's a very, very decorated Army Ranger, man of God, just a real good man. Probably, I've heard in many cases, one of the most fine combat soldiers in the U.S. military at this time. He's got a today we want to talk about an organization he and his father began, who are both very good friends of mine. It's called Freedom Has a Faith. And it's for assisting the fallen and their families, and we're going to get into that here in a minute with Joseph. But I just want to kind of lead in a little bit about who he is and his accomplishments, and I'll let him talk. So he's a father. He's got children. He's a great guy. He's he's in the 75th Ranger Regiment. He's had 15 special operations deployments. He's probably one of the most decorated soldiers I've ever heard of. He's got the Soldier's Medal. He'll tell us about that. The Bronze Star with Valor, two other Bronze Stars, a Purple Heart, Meritus Service Medal, two times Joint Service Commendation Medals. He's got 7 Army Commendation Medals, the Joint Achievement Medal, and 7 other Army Achievement Medals. And he's just absolute top of the line, hardworking, been through a lot, had injuries that don't slow him down. Obviously super level-headed, or he never would have made it to the level he's at. He's an E9, and that is, for those of you who don't know, is about one of the most, that's probably the most respected position in the U.S. Army, because it's a non-commissioned officer. So he's been frontline all the way, and if I understand properly, Joseph, the reason you've stayed there is because, and not gone officer, is because your main concern is for your guys. Is that correct?
Yeah, I've always had the burden to train the next generation to keep the fight going.
Yeah, so he really likes training guys. He likes to be out there protecting them. Am I right?
Absolutely.
And he's got an incredible record. I think I was talking to him the other day. He's got a guardian angel, or it's probably amazing. He'll meet him someday, and the guardian angel's probably going to be in rough shape. But anyway, so Joseph, let's talk a little bit about, we can drift in and out of some of your experiences a little bit, but let me open this up a little bit. So Freedom Has a Face is, I don't know. You want to tell us about it, or you want me to just kind of key in on it, or than anybody. It's a beautiful thing. So why don't you talk about it a little bit? I'll get something up here for you.
Okay. Yeah. So, kind of Freedom Has a Face began kind of, long before we started the organization. I've always had a burden for the fallen. I was tasked to climb Mount Denali in 2010 and lay the dog tags of our fallen Rangers on top of it. And when I got back from that trip, I noticed that...
when he says he was tasked, they lost 11 Rangers on a deployment, and Joseph petitioned the Army to allow him and 4 other Purple Heart Ranger recipients to lay the names of these 11 fallen brothers on top of the highest peak in America, Mount McKinley. Or you went to Denali.
Same mountain.
Yeah, okay, got it. Now that makes sense. Okay. Yep. And the Army sanctioned the event. So he's humble, but we'll just go from there.
I definitely took a long time to get him to convince. We worked it for about 5 years before they finally would let us do it.
Wow.
But, when I got home from that event, I kind of noticed that I didn't notice before that, but a lot of the flags from 9/11 had been taken down off the houses. A lot of the yellow
stickers.
And
what year? Stickers. This is 10?
This is 2010. And so it was kind of after Iraq surge had happened, and we were starting to pull out of Iraq. And I just noticed that the yellow ribbons you see on everybody's cars were gone. The memory of 9/11 and the people lost had been starting to fade. And that's kind of where Freedom Has a Face began.
Mm-hmm. I've had that same lately. On the last 9/11, I tried to cover it and everything, and it's just old news.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's absolutely the foundation of who we are today.
Absolutely.
As a nation.
Yeah.
It's absolutely the foundation of who you are today.
For sure. For sure.
And
who I am.
People need to realize. And it's a Christian radio station. And on Friday I covered, the Islamic effect in depth, and so Joseph's very well aware of all that stuff. So anyway, sorry about that. Go ahead.
Yeah, so then something that I started doing shortly after that is before me and my wife would eat every night with my two small children, we'd pray, and prior to praying, we would look up the casualties that had been killed that day, and we'd say their names. Because I kind of realized my kids knew every Seattle Seahawks fan, or Seattle Seahawks player, rather, but they didn't know the guys had been killed with me in combat. And so then after that, I was deployed in 2012. I'd broken my foot pretty bad, so I was sent home. And while I was home, Tommy McPherson was killed in action in the fall of 2012. I was watching that.
He's a good friend of yours.
He was, yep. Great man. Had a very young family. It was a heartbreaker for all the guys that knew him. And so I was watching the memorial online, and at one point his sister, who couldn't even hardly talk, managed to get out. She said, "For me now, freedom has a face." And it kind of hit me like a ton of bricks. And so I told my dad, "We got to do something." That's kind of the beginning of Freedom Has a Face.
That's amazing. I mean, it really is. So your goal, you want to take care of the fallen's spouses and family, but your main goal is to memorialize. So yeah. Almost when you have your kids repeating the names of your fallen comrades, wrong word, but
yeah,
you want to memorialize them. And so you're afraid that you just don't want what they've done to be done in vain.
Yeah. And you know, we've had an opportunity to talk to so many Gold Star family members, and they say that their child, husband, daughter, loved one, dies twice, the first time when they leave this earth and the second time when no one speaks their name. And so our goal is to not let that happen.
That's
heavy. So that was the first original idea behind Freedom Has a Face, and then we morphed into a couple other things as the years went by.
Yeah, as I was thinking about interviewing Joe today, Joseph, I was thinking of that exact thing. It's just the sacrifice that you guys make. And to you it becomes normal. It's never normal, but what's your profession or your trade, people don't realize how important that is, that there's this, you know, these squadrons of guys out there just knocking out evil constantly that are technically wanting to threaten the United States of America. People don't realize. I mean, we get this nation at this point in time is kind of full of a bunch of spoiled brats. It's pretty pathetic. I mean, they're just ungrateful and unthankful. And I just want to thank you seriously for your service.
Yeah,
I seriously,
thanks.
Seriously appreciate
it.
You know that. But and Joseph's just been round. I mean, he's amazing. Can you tell us a little bit about the Soldier's Medal that you earned and what that means and how you earned it? Because I think it's an awesome story. I think it's God's story. But
it is God's story, and it's one that you know, we don't believe in chance. We believe in blessings and God putting us in, you know, situations, and that is that. So we were finally through aggressively asking the military to let us summon the mountain. They did, thank God, and we were at 17,000 feet, which is high camp on Denali. We had decided not to summit that day because of the weather conditions that were out there, and so we decided to kind of lay low in our tents, and at one point we heard some commotion, and it was a group of four that had fallen right out of base camp. It was about 1,000 feet fall, and they kind of told us to stand by and see what, so they could see what the situation was. And then after an hour or so, they come and they asked us, they said, "Where are the Rangers at?" And they asked us to come out there and give them a hand, bringing back those casualties. Unfortunately, we were able to get two of them out, and then two took their last breath out there on Denali.
That's pretty awesome, though. I mean, you're up there to commemorate your 11 fallen brothers, and then God puts you in a situation where they wouldn't have been able to do it without you. You know?
No, it would have, there's no doubt that it would not have gone as smoothly. But I think though that it is ironic because as we carried those dog tags, any of the men that were, their names were printed on those dog tags that we were leaving up there would have done the exact same thing for anybody. Regardless of nation, creed, ethnicity, they would have done it gladly.
Of course. Yeah, that's amazing that God, I just see God in that whole thing. So the Soldier's Medal, what does that exactly mean?
So the Soldier's Medal was developed to...
He got this for this event at Denali.
Yeah, all the guys on the team got it. And the Soldier's Medal is designed to be used for acts of valor outside of combat.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know... It's something that's not too common, but in the Ranger Regiment, it's pretty common. We get guys that are jumping into burning buildings, burning cars, saving guys' lives out of wrecks. So it's used to highlight the achievement of the military through acts of valor outside of combat.
So they don't know any better. So it's basically saying it's just for being a world-class citizen as a world-class military professional.
Yeah, I suppose it's like when you're in kindergarten, it's just about being a good citizen, I guess.
Yeah,
getting
but
a
your
citizen award.
Your level of capability to be a good citizen is a tad above mine. Joseph was telling me earlier before we started the show, to move these people who'd fallen 1,000 feet, he said 8 hours for what, 600 yards or
600
something?
600 yards, yeah.
8 hours, think about that, for 600 yards, 30 degrees below zero, 30-mile-an-hour winds on a sheer cliff face. I mean, just unbelievable. So is that also training you received in one of your tech schools? Or?
Yeah, I think just dealing with the elements is something that we, after after being a young man, I've been in for almost 20 years now, and I've had many different opportunities to become better in those situations,
yeah.
I guess.
So. Afghanistan's got its share of winners, too, doesn't
they
it?
They do, they do.
That's
they
a
sure
nasty
do.
Place,
they
isn't
do.
It?
Yeah, it'll get below zero, 3-4 feet of snow. So
you can probably understand why America hasn't chosen to conquer Afghanistan. Just try to kind of tame it a little bit. Yeah. It's pretty bad, isn't it?
It is. It gets cold there.
But isn't it? Is it? Do you like the country? Is it? Is it rock and just kind of?
There are some oases out there, honestly. There? But yeah, for the most part, it's pretty barren and pretty tough living conditions in Afghanistan.
And tougher now, do you think, since the wars have stopped? Well, they've always they're Islamic. They live rough. They live simplistic. I can say that.
You can say
that.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
can't. It's my show. So
yeah.
You don't have to say anything. Okay. I have my people know my opinions. There's, trust me.
I know your opinions.
And I don't hide them. But, no, that's, that it's just, I think you put yourself in that situation. I can't even, I know for a fact, because I know Joseph, I know for a fact God put him in that situation. And, and he's so humble. He's so well decorated and so well respected in the military, and he's just so committed. And I think the heart for the fallen, you've been involved. You've seen your share. I know you've been involved in some other situations with plane or helicopter crashes and stuff. And you've just seen some tough stuff. You've seen guys, you've seen your brothers fall. You've seen.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not an easy go. And Joseph's hung in there for how you joined. Well, you joined the Army when?
I joined the Army in 2000, so I've been in for almost 20 years.
And
now.
When did you get commissioned as a Ranger?
I did that in 2003.
And you had to go through Ranger camp twice.
I went through, you go through a initial doctrinational phase of Ranger school to get into the Ranger Regiment, and then you go to actual Ranger school to kind of cement your ability to stick around for
didn't
a while.
You get to do that twice?
I did get to do Ranger school twice.
Why is that story in my head?
Well, they say real Rangers recycle, so that's...
I know. Do you mind if you... Can you touch on that story a little? Because the reason I want him to tell it is because I want you to understand, and don't hold back. I mean, I want you to understand the heart of this kid, and he's not a kid, but I'm old. So, but just the heart and the determination that he had to become a Ranger, it's really... It makes it more meaningful to him because he really understood the price. He fought for it. So can you just touch on what you're comfortable with there? And
yeah, and I think this will be the story of the wife that stands behind me at all times, because she's really the hero in this one. So I was going through Ranger school. I made a small mistake in Ranger school.
The very end.
And unfortunately, Ranger school shuts down for about 9 weeks.
Now, how many weeks was the very end?
So it was about a week prior to us being done. I mean,
out of how many weeks?
The whole school is 62 days.
So you're talking nine weeks.
Eight or 9 weeks, yeah.
9 weeks. He's put in 9 weeks now in a small mistake.
Yeah, a small mistake.
Very small. Actually, more of a psychological mistake.
Yeah,
it's
for
a
sure.
psychological mistake when you're completely worn out.
Done, yeah, absolutely.
And simply put, I don't think it matters. He wasn't supposed to speak and he spoke.
Yeah.
At the end of the end.
I'm pretty good at that, though.
And they're brain fried. No, he's not. He's a great leader.
They take a break for 9 weeks for the best Ranger competition, which happens at Fort Benning. And so they told me I couldn't recycle and then immediately start. I had to wait 9 weeks. And so I called my wife and I said, I think I'm done. I don't think I can stay here for another 9 weeks and start all over
again.
And my wife simply said to me, she said, if you leave, you will not be the same man that you were when you left. And
Oh wow!
And so it immediately told me
that's
that I was
deep.
It was. And so immediately it told me I was sticking around for an extra 9 weeks, and I'd finish what I started.
And you did another 62 days.
I did. Yeah, I stayed for 9 weeks, and I started my 62 days all over again.
And
so
you didn't speak at the end of that one.
I did not. I kept my mouth shut. For
so
sure.
Can I ask you this? Is it easier the second time because you know the duration of
it
the
is.
Pain and suffering? That's the psychology of it, isn't it?
It is.
It
yeah.
sucks, but you don't know how long it's going to suck for.
That's true. And you think it's never going to end when it's happening.
Yeah, and so. What these guys go through, I mean, what's the attrition rate by the end?
I think it's about somewhere around 30%, maybe 20 or 30%.
30% that make it or fall out?
That make it.
That's yeah. what I thought, yeah. So
I think so.
I think it's lower than that.
It might be. I don't
it's
know.
A lot lower than that.
As long as
it's about 10% that make it, from yeah. what I've read.
Yeah, I honestly, I don't
and
know.
And you
got to
remember, these are
there.
The 10. A lot of these guys are already hand selected. They've already gone in. This is the real Rangers too. I just want to plug that in. I've known guys that are in the military that have claimed to be Rangers. And they'll have a Ranger they'll have a Ranger patch because they went to some, you know, technical shooting school or whatever. But it, I mean, we're talking full blown Ranger battalion. These are the first men in. You know, into they go into the tight spots. They do most of their work at night, and they're surgically effective. They're what we watch movies about, except movies are full of crap. But so anyway, so let's see. We've got here. Yeah. So we did that. We talked about what you did with Freedom Has a Face, and then what was his name? Your buddy
McPherson.
McPherson's
yeah.
sister
yep.
made the comment that she said Freedom Has a Face when she was speaking. And you got up and you went into your dad. You guys happened to be in the same house, I take it, at the time.
We were. My dad was actually over watching my kids so I could kind of focus on the memorial online.
It was heavy for you.
Yeah, it was.
And so he went into his dad and he said, it just hit him. You know, he said, this is it, Dad. Freedom has a face. It's, you know. And then what your dad just went out, you guys went out and got the website right then.
Yeah, so the first goal was to get as much honoring the fallen as we could. That's kind of the first half of our mission is honoring all fallen, and then the second half is caring for the families. So mm-hmm. in order to honor the fallen, it was really to set up a web-based memorial site where guys could or people could go to the website, find people to think about. And really the goal, and I do this still today with my family, is I go to that day, find all the people that were killed that day, and we recite those names. And so we've got.
You do that every day with your family.
Every day before we eat.
How old are your kids now?
So my kids are. I have a son who's 8 and a daughter who's 12, and it is a. It's part of our tradition. We live on a 4 pillars, which is it's God, country, family, and community, and we believe that
4 pillars: God, country, family, community.
And someone called me crazy, but that's the order in which I prioritize
that's
them.
Your life.
Yeah, that's my life.
And some people would say God, family, country.
Absolutely.
But,
and some people I work with would say that.
But
very few.
I got you. But, well, the appropriate country, I'm a hardcore historian, and I've studied the Founding Fathers in great depth. And I don't know if you've spent a lot of time reading. You know, if you go on Google and just look up quotes on Second Amendment or even two-party system or, you know, the country that you're putting second to God is the country that makes family second to God.
Absolutely,
it's all
yeah.
part of
yeah.
it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, and I'm lucky, I'm really fortunate. My wife is also a veteran. She served.
Yes.
And that's made my
she's
life
amazing.
A little bit easier. But she got medically retired a while back. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so in order to honor the fallen, that was kind of the first mission. We all kind of, once the battalion returned from the deployment, we did the formal McPherson's memorial ceremony, and then directly after that, my dad and a couple other leaders in the group got together, and we said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to figure out a way to honor the fallen and take care of the families. And then the first mission was the first honor of the fallen, and then taking care of the families came about 5 years later, and we started doing that program.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. So first, when you first started it, if it was you helped people. You kind of consolidated the information. So what would people? So basically, my understanding, or from what I've seen, is when you have a fallen soldier, they instantly have them up. They've got information. They've got basically a lot of information, data, you know, where the funeral, all this kind of stuff. And then they also now, I think, in some cases, you help people travel and get there. I know
yeah,
that
absolutely.
They've done that.
And really, what the memorial site does is unique to any other site is it does have a short bio. It shows where they're from. You can search that stuff. And then
That's FHAF freedomhasaface.org for freedomhasaface.org. Check it out. And also, I'll let you keep talking, but so people, this is a complete, it's a 501c3.
100% 501c3 nonprofit organization.
It's a complete nonprofit. They run specifically off of donations and giving. They've got, you know, and they're not killing it. They're doing a great job for what they do. But all the money is used specifically straight into the program. There's no administrative. In fact, I know they've eaten a lot of their own money and stuff to make it fly and done a lot of great things for people. I mean, there's some cool stories your dad's told me about, you know, people you've helped. And, you know, and we can get back to that. But one thing that comes to my mind, too, is the military is sort of a subculture, mm-hmm. right? And so, I mean, people, one thing that was going through my mind is how do you help these people? I mean, you get a fallen soldier, what happens to his wife? I mean, it's the heartbreaking, it's empty, you know, it becomes a, you know, a dry land. And the military people are usually with military people, so they don't get the civilian input unless they're in a church or something like that. So people, by giving to this, you're able to reach out and deal with some of the military's finest, that knowing exactly who needs what, where they are, you know, exactly. I mean, being able to communicate on their level. So if you go to FHAF.org, just realize you're literally putting money in the pockets of, you know, those, the survivors of the fallen, and they're, you know, Joseph and his dad, Joe, are, you know, good Christian guys, and they're seeing things the right way. So, is there other ways that you, I mean, like, other than this, I can't even think, there's no really other way that you can get out as connected as you guys are. So what are some of the things that you've done for some of these people?
Yeah. So in 2017, I realized that we needed to create a conduit between the contacts we had with these, fallen family members and the general public. Because there are many people that wanted to do something for these families, but they don't know how to contact them, what the needs are. And so we decided we would be that conduit that would basically be there to support the family members. So in 2017, awesome. We started a program called Gifts of Gratitude. And what Gifts of Gratitude does is it's a program that allows anyone to nominate a Gold Star family member to have for any type of grant. So some examples of that are home and auto repairs. We've helped many Gold Star family members who are being evicted the next day. So we've gotten phone calls saying I need to pay my mortgage or I will be evicted the next day.
So sorry to stop you, but so if you have a fallen soldier, the pay stops? What happens?
So typically what happens is when a soldier is killed in action, he does have life insurance.
Which probably isn't huge.
It's changed over the years, but it's between $300,000 and $500,000, a significant amount. Mm-hmm. But typically what happens in those events is you got to understand that the people that are mostly killed in combat are the young guys. They're the guys that are 19 to 20 mm-hmm. years old. Their wife is a
E4s and E5s.
Their wife's a 19 to 20 year old woman, no college education, mm-hmm. has 2 to 3 kids already, and they get taken advantage of by their own family, by organizations,
by financial they've experts.
They've never been taught how to take care of money, and so the reality is that whether of their fault or no fault of their own, there are needs that arise, and
it's not up to us to judge.
Absolutely not, and.
And folks, I'll tell you straight up, when he's talking about the amount of life insurance and stuff, I've seen money go. I have a good friend who passed a number of years ago, and his wife had $1 million. He didn't even let her know, and it was the last thing she found digging around, and it took her a while. We helped her remodel her house and stuff, and then she found $1 million life insurance policy in a vault in his office. And she ended up giving the money. He told her before he died to come and see me with the money, and she didn't know what he was talking about. She did, and we talked, and she had this other friend whose husband was a Christian financial advisor. She gave them $1 million, and by the time she got back to me and got out of there, in 1 year they dropped her down to $638,000. And just said, gee, we don't, you know, sorry, we missed it. We'll just keep, you know, let's try this, let's try that. I mean, this is like during this economy, when the stock market is reaching through the stars. So, folks, just first of all, you beware. Secondly, realize it's very possible. You go to a lot of they're called brokers for a reason because they make you broke. But I know that happens to a lot of them, or, you know, but anyway, so just had to throw that in there since it's a financial-based show.
Yeah, for sure. And so I think what people really need to know about Kevin, about Freedom Has a Face, is there are hundreds and hundreds of nonprofits for the military out there. We know that. Mm-hmm. You see them on TV. Where Freedom Has a Face is unique is a couple of different reasons. First of all, it's anyone who's involved in Freedom Has a Face on the advisory board has served in the military, retired, or is a Gold Star family member themselves.
Wow.
That advisory board, their job is to my dad will take the application, confirm that the person was killed in action, and the advisory board will vote on how much we will be able to assist in the family. And so integrity at the utmost for that advisory board, and we make sure it's done right. Secondly, and maybe even more importantly, is we're small enough and grassroots enough where there's no bureaucracy.
None.
And so we're able to turn a need very, very
Agile.
Quickly and not have
kind
to.
Like the Rangers.
Yeah. And not have
That's
to.
That's what it is. This is the Army Ranger of fallen vets.
Yeah. And so I think that's really what makes it unique. I've had the opportunity to be around a lot of these great nonprofits, and what I take a lot of pride in is our ability to see a need and fix it as soon as possible and make
and
it
that's
right.
Actually it's super, it's as grassroots and as legit. I mean, you're dealing with America's finest as far as I'm concerned, and that's based on fact, not fiction. And you're also dealing with godly hearts of gold. Military people feel for military people just like any other group of people. They're going to understand it more and the most, for sure. So I just tell people, go to FHA. You're all set up for accepting donations.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, I mean, this is a good cause, folks. I mean, this is the kind of thing, if you're looking for something to give monthly, this is it. I mean, this is fallen warriors that I honestly think they get swept into the cracks more now than ever in the 24/7 news cycle. It's crazy. I know a while ago there was one of the, the big well-known, whatever you want to call it, that was in a lot of, an organization that helped wounded warriors, but they were in a lot of trouble for what they were doing with their, and huge amounts of money. I mean, huge. I don't remember the numbers, but they were massive. I mean, these guys are, calling themselves nonprofit, and they're living like kings. And that's, and folks, look at, these guys are dealing with people that sometimes $1,000 is going to turn their lives around. And when you have these nonprofits that are running away with millions, I mean, I would not want to stand in front of God for that one. Mm. When people are giving their money with a good heart. And so just again, I would really encourage people to back this up. And I never do this. I never, ever go on the air and tell people to support a cause. I think you're it.
Yeah.
So, and that's how important it is to me. And I really want, I hope my listeners, I know we have a large audience out there. We'll play the show a few times, but I just really want you guys to, jack it up. I want Joseph to call me and say, wow, we got a great response from your people. So you got to make me proud out there. I hope you can. So you got a few interesting stories about some of the, Gold Star.
Yeah. I think, to give you a couple
of Gold Star is,
it's a great point. So Gold Star family member, is an organization that is widely just universally known as any family member of someone who was killed in action, and that really means that they got a Purple Heart because they died of wounds created in combat. And so
they gave the ultimate sacrifice.
They did, and so that's kind of the Gold Star stamp, if you will. And that's what we do. That is the only requirement, is that the person had to have been killed in combat, and that usually comes with a Purple Heart. But a couple examples are several examples of foreclosures. But a woman who is she lost her son as a corporal in the Marine Corps, and unfortunately she fell in hard times. His friend, who was still in the Marine Corps, is actually the one that called us, contacted my dad and said, "Hey, we need to do something for this lady." And then within 24 hours, we were able to keep her in her home, and she's still doing well today. And we still talk to him. I'd encourage anyone to go to the website and just read the testimonials.
Yeah,
and just know that the money that you're giving is directly going to a situation that is much like that. And there's other opportunities out there. If you feel inclined to give, most of those are around $3,000 increments that we usually help people with. So if you want to sponsor one yourself, mm-hmm. I'd be more than happy to get people connected with these families to help these families. So ultimately, that's what we're trying to do. They gave,
so you basically, if somebody wants to be involved, you'll let them know what their money went to.
Absolutely.
And see, that's even better, folks. Where
absolutely.
Do you get that?
And
that's,
you know,
incredible.
The way that my dad runs the organization is you are able to contact him and say, this is where I want my money to go to, and it'll go in that account, and that's what it'll be used
wow.
for. And so I think that it's a way that we can I think we have a responsibility, it's our duty as Americans to take care of the fallen.
I agree wholeheartedly. I agree with him wholeheartedly. I think we've really lost touch with it. I'm fortunate enough to know him and through his family, and he's just, I mean, the valor and dignity and honor in the U.S. military. It's the hallmark of our society. As you know, I just even going and watching the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, that just brings tears to my eyes.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
I mean, it just does. And I don't know if you guys have ever seen that at Arlington, but that, it's just, you know, it's representative of those who've given everything, and their name is lost. Their body's lost, their name is lost. The ultimate sacrifice. I mean, the ultimate of ultimates, that only, you know, the heaven, only the real rewards lie in heaven. But they guard this tomb 365, 24/7. When we were there, they were telling us at one point they had some unbelievable, I think like a winter hurricane kind of thing coming through. They were having like 100-mile-an-hour winds, and they said Obama demanded that they stand down, and mm-hmm. They refused. They just kept going, and they had pictures of it in some video. And there was guys literally walking at a 30-degree angle because it was snowing sideways so hard. It's a cool. I don't know if you've seen that.
I have not.
The snow is built up around them like 4 or 5 feet, and there's just this groove.
Wow.
Where they just keep going. And they literally have one where the guy's literally, I'd say that the wind was so bad, he's walking it. I'd almost give him 25 degrees.
I think that's what separates America from the rest of the world is our ability to, and our desire. I'm looking at this right now, and, you know, this is from as far back as President Lincoln saying, a nation that does not honor its heroes will not long endure. And I think that is, I think the cool thing about being a patriot and honoring the fallen is it's bipartisan. It doesn't have to be bipartisan. It can be bipartisan. But at the end of the day, it shouldn't be. And
you know, even the office of president and vice president, and did you know that when the – sorry, I keep interrupting. The Federalist Paper, I think it's 68, where they wrote – and they specified – I think it's even in the Constitution – how the presidential election was supposed to go. They're supposed to bring the electors back to D.C. They said it wasn't supposed to be a popularity contest. Mm-hmm. It wasn't about how well they could articulate. They said it should be a successful businessman – or a successful general or military leader. That's who they wanted. And then they would vote. They'd nominate and vote. And who got the first votes was president. Second was vice. Third was chief of staff or secretary of treasury, or not treasury, secretary of state, or whatever it is. And then on down the top five. And that was it. And it was completely nonpartisan. It was a complete civic duty. And when they start out, and you know, George Washington, they started that system. George Washington did 2 terms, interesting. And FDR went for 4. But George had it figured out. And George, in his departure speech, could have written about anything he wanted. And he spoke about his fears of the two-party system destroying this nation, separating us, which is true. Yeah. I mean, everybody, it's getting to the point, people, you're red or blue. I literally will sit down and talk to people in a bar or restaurant or whatever and just chat. And they'll be agreeing with what I say, but then they get leery. They're like, what party are you with? What's your political persuasion? I won't tell them.
Yeah.
I will not tell them. I had a guy get so mad at me one night when we were out at the Max that he, like, wanted to fight me because I would not tell him my political party. He'd been drinking.
Yeah.
But he agreed with everything I was saying.
Yeah.
And we were in Vermont before the first Obama election, and I was and that's, like, the most liberal state in the U.S. And we'd go to this cafe every morning, this really cool little old cafe, and everyone was talking politics, and I'd start talking. And Carrie and I was like, she had pictures. I would sit there like by the fourth day, and I'd have like 13 people in chairs around me, all liberals, all like socialist liberals. And I'd be speaking all these conservative principles without ever telling them. I made them think that I was a liberal, and they're nodding their head and agreeing. So the division's not all on principle.
Yeah.
It's on, I was raised a damn Democrat. My dad's a Democrat. My mom's a Democrat. And if I'm not a Democrat, I'm not part of the family, is a lot of it. But partisan politics is out. And that's why I kind of said George did it. And the political system's not supposed to be like that. And what these guys do, there are no politics. I will say, a shout out to Trump. I have heard from him and others that since he got in office. He's really taken off the handcuffs. Joseph's been in a long time. He's seen all the different kinds of bureaucracy that our government's tried to, by reacting to situations that get bad publicity, and then they come in and they try to overcorrect, as typical, you know, from people who aren't doing what you do. And in some cases, it can put the guys in tough shape because they shouldn't have to think. Like I was telling Joseph here the other night, he's an NFL athlete. I mean, if you understood the incredible, he's better than an NFL athlete. If you understood what this, you know, the capabilities of these guys, and they're trained. That's the whole point of their training, is they're broken down to the core so that there is no think time. It's just instant. And if they add an ingredient of thought, you break the entire flow. And so Trump's done a good job there. And, you know, we don't always agree with everything he does. People have different opinions on all kinds of stuff. But as a commander in chief, I think he's helped these guys out a lot. So, so we'll get back to Freedom Has a Face. I just had to go off a little bit there. But, so the one thing he said that I really like is, I don't know of other than, like, you know, World Vision for Children, where you can give, you know, 30, 40 bucks a month, and, you know, they send you a picture of the child with Joe and Joseph. You can give to specific soldiers, families, know exactly how much they're getting, what they're getting for it, and what it did for their lives, and they'll be open about that. That's a super cool thing. I can't think of another charity like that.
Yeah, we take a lot of pride in it, and I think that it is truly, as you know, Kevin, you know my dad, it is his life. He's devoted to it. I wish I could be more involved in it, but obviously I don't have the time. And he is a man of honor, integrity, and loyalty to the cause.
He's a good man, good heart.
And I'm super proud of it. I think that if you can't give money, just go to the website and just look at the faces of the fallen and realize that, you know, one of the reasons why Freedom Has a Face was important to me.
Give those, $5.
Those, seriously. Those exact words was, I think often we can see a number of 4,424 mm-hmm. people have been killed in Afghanistan and Iraq. That rolls off the tongue pretty easily. Mm. If you go through in there and scroll through those 4,424 photos, it's pretty tough to do.
Not only, I mean, my wife's from Townsend, Montana, the population was 2,200.
Yeah.
Half of that. And it covered a lot of land and a lot of space. That's a lot of people. Not only is that a lot of people, there's a lot of fine people.
Yeah.
You know, you're not just talking average citizens. You're talking 4,426 or whatever he said, men, women, that have given it all for this nation, for freedom. They've trained, they've committed, they've perfected skills and abilities. That's our finest of the fine. I think we've lost touch with that. It's a career, and it's like you were saying, you get these guys that fall, they're young, their wives are uneducated. Why? Because they made a commitment. This is a career. You know, it's a career of protection. They've made a commitment to our nation, and with that commitment comes sacrifice. In time, they've got GI bills and all that stuff, but these guys go straight in out of high school, and they're, you know, there's all different kinds that go in for different reasons. But these guys, they're giving it all, you know, and they're out fighting for us. I just don't think, I don't know, Joseph, you probably know, you know, Joseph, a lot of what we're doing is overseas, and we don't always realize, well, one thing that really drives me nuts is we never, you know, there's all this critical spirit out there, but we never know the intel. I don't understand why civilians are so ignorant, is because we'll see action and we'll be like, you know, they'll be judging the action and we don't know the intel that they're going off, and we're never going to know it. But the bottom line is, I know of some situations where they've had to take out large groups of people because they intercept, you know, their major plots, you know, 9/11 quality plots against the United States that we never even know even rose their head, you know. And so they're doing it for a reason. And we know what evil is, and it's dark, and it's, but you know what? America is the light. We're the light on a hill, and we're going through some growing pains right now. But like he said, that's what makes America unique. Actually, that is interesting that you say that, because I think other countries have patriotism, but why is our military so elite?
Well, I think first and foremost, it's an all-volunteer unit. And that does not exist very many places around the world. When you look at most nations, it's a mandatory 2 to 4 year commitment. Mm-hmm. And there are some smaller nations that it's a requirement. They're going to have to do it. And I also think it's just American exceptionalism. It is in our blood to be exceptional. And I think that we've been able to keep that going. And I think that a lot of that comes with honoring the fallen. Every unit in the military has a moral, and they take the time to do it. I mean, I'm wearing a wristband right now.
I was going to mention that. I didn't know if it was okay.
But. Yeah, I'm wearing a wristband right now, and it's from Sergeant Tyler Holt. To you know, there was an event that happened with the Navy SEALs where we lost a bunch of them.
When was that?
That was in 2011 or 12.
Was that the helicopter?
It was.
And you actually assisted with
I mean, we were in the area, and Sergeant Tyler Holtz was with me, and we kind of went in there to try to help out, and he was killed in action. And so Sergeant Tyler Holtz was a young guy. He also, interestingly enough, got the Protector Award in the first grade, and so it must have started young for him. But I wear a wristband. I'm in the military. I'm around it every day, but this wristband lets me not forget that, you know, what I'm for many different reasons, like why I get up in the morning, why it's so important to train the young guys. But more importantly, Sergeant Tyler Holtz could have done anything he wanted in life. I think sometimes the military gets a little bit of bad rap that this is not the military of the 1970s. It is not the military of the 1960s. These are guys that are could do anything they want. I had about 140 guys in my company, and of that, the enlisted guys, more than half had their bachelor's degree, and 20% had their master's degree. These are guys that joined the Army because they just want to serve their country. And unfortunately, we just got to make sure that the American public understands there's still stuff going on around the world. You know, 12 guys were killed last year in combat, and I think that probably surprised most people.
Yeah, you made some good points there, too. It's interesting to see, like you said, people think of the old military. I grew up in Great Falls, Montana, with Malmstrom Air Force Base. And when I was in high school, and so I was surrounded. But see, all we ever got to see in my town was, you know, the town's 50,000, 10,000 of it's the base.
Yeah.
And so we got all the E3s, and they'd come, they'd get out of boot, and they'd come, and they'd go buy the Camaros, and they'd run around and chase high school girls, all this stuff that just annoyed us, you know. Because we had to compete.
I was never that guy.
Because we had to compete with them.
No, but I think and like, it's nothing. I want to make sure I'm understood, because it's nothing to take away from. Obviously, I'm a veteran.
No, well, I wanted to finish because I didn't finish on a good note. That wasn't a good note.
I'm not taking away from anyone who's ever served, but I think it's important that these guys are educated guys. They're turning down their commission so they can be enlisted.
Which is huge.
It's crazy.
You guys, I mean, Joseph's, you know, been promoted humbly to E9. That's as high as you can go.
Yeah.
Enlisted. I mean, like I said, and he's brilliant. I mean, he's the kind. We were talking the other night, the people that he's surrounded with are the kind of people that would be successful at whatever they do. That's what Joseph's saying. These are America's finest. And I'll tell you what, the capabilities and aptitudes and all this stuff are phenomenal. My son did a lot of research a while ago on IQs of the different levels of the military, what their minimum acceptance is for the Marines and the Air Force. And then when you get into special ops and the average IQ of Rangers and the average IQ of the SEALs, it's basically way up there. It's like 150 plus. So and then I was reading some stuff a while ago, you know, basically long-term, you know, financial success in the world is closely tied to IQ. So you get these people that have literally chosen to be the best of the best at really an amazing, incredible skill to be able to, like you said, American exceptionalism. We're the best of the best. And so praise God for those people. Praise God for America. I really do wish we could get people to wake up and come back to center. I'm so tired of politics. I deal with it all the time. I hate it. Politics is hatred. I hate it. I mean, right is right and wrong is wrong, and we have to fight for the truth, and that's what you do, really. You're out there, and don't ever forget it. And if it ever feels mundane, I know it doesn't, but I mean, just know how many people. I just think you need to know there. I know a lot of people, and a lot of people are behind the military. I mean, massively. And they don't, I don't think, I know what you're saying as far as kind of looking down on it. I think it's kind of the, you know, maybe left over from the Vietnam trash. But I just don't think people see it like that. I think they just tend to forget.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. We live in a very rapid, fast-paced environment.
Yeah, and think about how many countries we haven't had bloodshed on our soil since the Civil War. Right. And we were shooting our own guys.
Right.
I hate that story, too, by the way. Mm-hmm. I've studied that too much. That's not it. I would have handled that differently if I was Abraham Lincoln. I would have. And I think there's other ways. But other than that, we haven't seen bloodshed on our soil from foreign invaders since, the Spanish War of 1814. Yeah. So we don't even know. I think that's a scary thing for me about America is we've just become so numb and so self-absorbed that, you know, I mean, that day could come. Or
absolutely.
If we pull out of too many nations too fast and they build up to, you know, give them 2-3 years unfettered, and guess where they're going? They're not going to go sit over in a desert valley by themselves and shoot at each other. You know, and we are the great white Satan to some of these people. And so that's what these guys are over there, you know, staving down when we're, like, wondering why we're spending all this money and stuff on it. It's so that we don't have to spend the lives here. And that's one good thing you're doing, so, among many others.
Well, yeah, and I just think, you know, I think it's important that we realize that tonight there'll be men and women going out and doing bad things to bad people, and so America, it's not on
America. Amen. Yeah, no,
it's not the right thing to bad people.
You're doing the right thing to bad people.
Yeah, the right thing. I guess that's what you would say.
Execution of. Yeah.
But I think it's important that comes at a cost, and that cost is
a lot.
That cost is the tomorrows for us, for families that will never see their loved ones again. And like I said, I don't think it's a good thing to do. I don't think it's a nice thing to do. I think it's an obligation we have as citizens of a country to take care of the families of the fallen and not remember or not forget the names and the faces of the
guys. Abraham Lincoln's quote again?
It was a nation that forgets to honor will not endure.
Their honor their heroes or something.
Yeah.
And that's pretty – I guess when he first said that, I thought one thing. And then the second time – I guess I realized what he's saying more. It's like we remember, we memorialize, but we don't really remember.
That's absolutely right. And I think that I don't know how you can do that with not for us. It's the faces that make you do that. It's the
freedom has a face.
It's the 18-year-old kid to the 54-year-old you know, grown man that has given his life for his country.
Freedom has a face, guys. FHAF.org. Or freedomhasaface.org. But like Joseph's saying, I don't know. I'm sure I don't know of another place, and I haven't searched, but where you can go and see the fallen bios on each of them. And then you guys have some vintage stuff in there too, don't you?
We do. And so another thing you could do, like I do at my house, is the homepage will rotate through the faces on our page that were killed that day. So as we look at it today, I think it's 29. If you go down there a little bit, Kevin, it's 29 guys that were killed that day. So those faces that were rotated.
This is what?
So those pictures are rotating, or the guys that were killed, this is their anniversary today. Is their anniversary, and so you know maybe your part in not letting our country forget is leaving that on your homepage and seeing those faces rotate because those are the guys that gave their country their lives for their country today.
That's a godly act, I think it is.
Yeah,
I mean,
it is.
You look at
absolutely.
The Bible, people get all weirded out about stuff. God was you know, the way the world works is it takes blood. Blood for freedom and blood for justice.
Yeah, and I think it's very easy to say freedom isn't free. Those faces are the guys that prove that. And to kind of go on what you're saying, I mean, ultimately our goal is to have every service member ever killed in action. It's a lengthy task. So we've gotten the GWAT guys. We've gotten the Global War on Terror. And as you can see, we have some we've been going back to other wars or some civil mm-hmm. guys, Civil War guys on there.
Oh, really?
Awesome. Absolutely. And so a couple other things that Freedom Has a Face does is we have a candlelight vigil. So you can click on one of those guys' pictures, and it'll take you to a kind of a text, like a chat group, if you will. And so for the guys that were killed mm-hmm. and that I was
message
with.
Message board.
Yeah, it's a message board. And so like when Tyler Holt's anniversary comes up in September 20th, we all get on there and we talk to each other, and his mom gets on there. We communicate with his mom. It's very, very powerful, especially for the family, but even for us to talk about him, to remember him how he was. And just realize that it's not a number, it's not a uniform, but there's a man or a
you know, Joseph said something earlier, and I mean, I know he realized what he was saying, but I don't know if he fully does, because when he said they die twice, once in the body and once when their name's not spoken. And I lost my dad about 3.5 years ago, who was my best friend. And with my mom, I mean, it was bad. It was hard on her. And she said the hardest thing for her is they had these groups of friends and stuff they'd hang out with. And then all of a sudden she started hanging out with him. And then no one would speak his name.
Mm.
No one would ask a question. No one. And people, after going through all that, I realized people always, there's all these different personalities that don't know how to handle it. But people that have lost a loved one, they miss them. And they, you know, they need, and we need to commemorate them, memorialize them, discuss them. It's good for them. It's good for us. And it keeps them alive in our hearts. There's so much, you know, I mean, death. And especially in this is the death of valor. I mean, it's a death of greatness. It has a cleansing effect on us. And yeah. I think it humbles us. It brings us right down to our roots. What's life really about? What are we really about? You go away from this, you're going to be, you know, you'll get motivated. You know, you'll get, absolutely. I'm going to be a better person. I'm going to do a better
absolutely.
Time. You
and,
know,
and, so. I think that at the end of the day, I think Freedom Has a Face is goal is to honor those men and take care of their families, and I think they're equally as important. But what you'll get with Freedom Has a Face is an organization committed to doing that. That is fighting the bureaucracy and can go right to the source and be the link between the average American and that family member to show their gratitude, and I think it's important.
That is really cool. That is super awesome. So once again, I'm not doing an infomercial, but get in there and give them some money. They can reach, the more money they get, the more people they're going to reach.
Absolutely.
I mean, the money is their limitation. And these are good guys. I mean, they're the right thing, doing the right thing. So just get involved, and that's all I'm saying. And it's an honor to have Joseph on, and I don't know. There's a lot of things I'd like to talk to him about, but I probably can't. So
maybe in about 25 years.
Yeah. Once his top secret clearance runs out. No, I'll be gone by then. Ooh, look at, there's my, remember I told you I have malware? Okay, there it is. Oh, give me a break. So, all right, well, I'm kind of in a weird limbo spot here, but so what are you doing in the area right now, Joseph?
Yeah, so I
where are you stationed, Fort Benning?
I am in Fort Benning right now, the mighty southeast down there. Me and my wife came up here. We actually did a fundraiser. SeaTac Electric and Anderson Construction have been absolutely phenomenal. They have been the most faithful to us, and they have helped multiple families. And they put on a tournament, a cornhole tournament for us. And that's another way to get involved. They don't give us directly, but they do put on events where they raise some money for us. They do, and they have helped so many families. And so we came over here for that, and then also, as you know, my dad's in the area, and I had to come see you as well.
Yeah. So. And we're gonna work on getting a fundraiser in our area too.
Absolutely, yeah.
I think we can do good with that. It's a heck of a cause. I've gotten involved with other fundraisers that have done well that aren't even fractionally as relevant as this is. So I got to ask you a question. So we got Christian audience here. Do you got any? You got any experiences that you feel were like super God profound?
So what I can
amazing.
Yeah. So this is kind of the. It actually changed my life about 5 years ago. I'll give you two of them. 5 years ago, up to that point, I've had guys that have worked for me for like about the last 10 years, and I used to pray on the back of the helicopter going into the darkness every night. I would pray. I'd say, "Lord, please take care of these men. Let us come out of this thing alive."
Tell them what to do.
You know, like like super nervous and like getting off the helicopter would be very nervous. And then about 5 years ago, I was on a helicopter and I said, "Lord, let your will be done tonight." An immediate peace came over my body, and I've said the same exact words on every mission. I've probably been on close to 1,000 now. And after I started saying those words, I never thought about it again. Complete peace in my life. Just let His will be done tonight.
Awesome.
You know, and I think that changed my life. Probably the other big one I was involved in where I got beat up a little bit in a situation. I think there's people that think they're going to die. I thought I was dead for a while, and so it was pretty sobering. But, you know, I think that what I realized in that moment was, I only get one chance to be a dad and raise a godly man and a godly woman, and it completely changed my perspective on before I used to think that it was important being a parent. But now I know that it's my job is to raise a man of God and a woman of God and a good citizen. And so I think those are the two highlights. But really,
so when you're laying on your back,
yeah,
I mean, you're gone as far as you're concerned.
Absolutely.
And those are that. And what went through your mind?
The first thing that went through my head was, have I raised a man of God? Have I raised a woman of God?
That was it. That's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that
that's powerful.
Yeah, and it changed the way I parented. It changed the way who I am. And
that's
but
awesome.
I think there was a lot of peace in my life after I just succumbed to the fact that I'm not God, and whatever God's will is what's going to happen.
And like I said to Joseph, he's told me that before, but, you know, that's sort of that veteran seasoning in a way. I mean, with God as a – I mean, you get to the point where you've done it and you know his will be done, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you've probably seen people that – I know you guys have a policy. If someone doesn't feel right, they don't go out on a mission, right?
Yeah.
And you've seen people that know.
Absolutely.
It's their day.
Absolutely. And
I've heard that so many times.
Yeah, and I think that it's you know, and I think the scary part is when you think you can make a change, you know you can't. So I think it just makes you even more nervous when you succumb to the fact that I'm here to do God's work. I believe in the cause, and I believe that it's God's plan.
When you say when you want to make a change, you know you can't. Are you saying like last minute?
Yeah, I think so.
For God type stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
I agree with you totally. That's where a lot of people, you know, it's like they say now is the time of salvation, because I know a guy who literally was dabbling in life. He's a pastor now, and he was dabbling in life with things he shouldn't have, and he knew he had to become a believer, and he had decided that with the minute he saw death coming, he was going to accept Christ.
Yeah.
And he was doing drugs and stuff, and he was living in Colorado, and he was driving down the road, and he literally saw the sun falling out of the sky coming right at his car. And he said it was a long ways away, and it was just a fireball coming out of the sky.
Wow.
Massive. He said it was the sun. He thought it was the sun coming at the earth. And he said he pulled over, and he literally tried to pray to accept Christ. He couldn't do it. And it ended up being a satellite that had come down, and
it
went flying by him. It blew up. He was up in the mountains of Colorado. It just exploded by him, just knocked him on his butt. It was just unbelievable. It was like something you or I'd probably never get to see. He thought it was something, but it's interesting. He's a pastor, and he said he could not do it. So we are out of time, folks. Sorry I didn't do a nice wrap. Thanks for tuning in. Appreciate it, and we'll be back soon. Goodbye.